International MIRIS Awards addresses a lack of a regional system and recognizes excellent accomplishments in medicine and pharmacy for everyone working in daily clinical practice. But for this podcast, I'm hosting a different kind of professionals, the kind which brings science closer to the people. What you will hear today is only a part of a longer discussion, which you can find on official MIRIS webpage. International MIRIS Awards. Thank you very much for joining today. I would first like to ask you all to briefly introduce yourself so we have the latest info. And maybe starting with you, Milica.
I'm Milica Vučević. I'm from Belgrade, Serbia, science journalist and science editor, actually, at the Serbian Broadcasting Corporation, Radio Television of Serbia, for some time now. Also, I'm a president of the World Federation of Science Journalists.
Lea Vitezic.
Yeah, I'm originally from Rijeka, but yeah, I live and work in London for the past 6 years. I like to say for myself that I'm more like a generalist journalist because I have experience covering various topics. I just started a few months ago with the COVID pandemic to cover more like science topics connected with the COVID. But before that, my experience was quite various. And yeah, at the moment I'm working and I'm a founding member as well of Journalists Action Network. And we started in April with COVID Action Network, which is a part of our platform where we are reporting on COVID, the pandemic and its consequences. And most importantly, we are trying to find solutions to those problems and not just report on them.
Micho, you also work in London?
I've been a science journalist for quite a while now. I worked at various organizations. Most recently, I've been working as a news editor for Research Professional News. We cover policy and funding in sciences. And I've been the chairman of the Association of British Science Writers, which is a professional organization for science writers in the UK. And also I'm on the board of the European Federation of Science Journalists, which is a relatively new organization that sort of tries to represent the interests of science journalists across Europe. And also together with Milica, we are sort of on the board of the Balkan Network of Science Journalists, which is really an attempt to informally bring together people from the wider Balkans who work in science journalism and science communication to sort of share opportunities and learn from each other.
Thank you very much. Renata, could you briefly introduce yourself?
Well, I'm a science journalist and I'm working for a national television. I have a weekly science program called Let's Bite Into the Science. What else should I say?
No, it's enough for okay. For a start. Thank you very much again, all, for joining today. The topics we will address are extensive, and I know we will barely scratch the surface, but the goal today is to portray as many aspects of your work to our viewers. Let's start. Unreliable sources, false experts, fake news, all this while facing a world health crisis. How complicated is your professional life today? Micho.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit more complicated than it used to be. I think, you know, the problem with sort of unreliable sources and this sort of pseudoscience and things like that usually is a problem for generalist journalists who don't cover science more closely. I think people like us who do specialize in sciences, I think we find it a bit easier to know who the trustworthy sources are, you know, so first of all, because we've been covering the issue for a long time, because we know where to look for. We always kind of look for evidence. We look for peer-reviewed journals. We look for data that's been published and checked by other experts. We look for other experts' views on things. But COVID has made things a little bit more difficult because experts disagree, because no one really knows what the science is at the moment. I'm in science you know, they follow the evidence, but the evidence is not there yet on many things. So I know that in the UK, for example, you can have, you know, one newspaper article one day saying one thing and the next day another one saying something completely different. And they both cite world, you know, world experts at the University of Oxford or Cambridge, Imperial College London, whatever. So it is tricky because as a journalist, you sort of feel that you have to cover these things. You do have to listen to what experts say, and you don't know what the truth is, and you know that lots of these experts don't. So you kind of have to follow every new bit of evidence that's interesting and relevant, I guess. But it does complicate things because when you look back to your coverage, you think, you know, now it looks like some of those stories maybe weren't as good or as trustworthy as they could have or should have been. But you couldn't know that at the time because it's so complicated, because we are kind of working at a time when science is very much developing and there isn't sort of a certain settled science or anything. Even simple things like face masks, if you think about that, at the beginning of the pandemic in the UK, the best scientists and the government advisors were saying there's no evidence that face masks work, and in fact they were saying they could even be bad for you in some ways. And then a few months later, the best evidence shows that they do work to an extent. So as journalists, we sort of had to adapt a bit, but also sort of, I think our role as sort of someone who asks difficult questions and who asks where the evidence is even more important, because we have to hold to account not just sort of politicians and people in power, but also scientists and researchers, and ask them difficult questions, maybe even more difficult than usual.
Okay, we'll slightly modify the question for you and borrow this concept for Harry G. Frankfurt. He wrote in 2005 about the distinction between a lie and something else. And he says like this, he wrote like this: the liar cares about the truth and attempts to hide it, but the bullshitter doesn't care if they say is true or false, but rather only cares whether their listener is persuaded. So it seems that persuading with facts is much harder than abusing rhetorics to bend the truth. Why do you think this is?
I think in general, I think the main problem of today's journalism in general, not just science journalism, is that journalism pretty much became clickbait journalism. So it's really hard to, like, sometimes facts are not as interesting as something else, which is not true. Because journalism is pretty much only online at the moment, and what it counts is not necessarily the quality and the facts that are accurate. It's more of like grabbing attention and writing these sensationalist headlines. So I think that's one of the problems of all journalism nowadays, and yeah, especially science journalism. And with COVID, we see a lot of that as well. I would say that that's the main issue. But when it comes specifically reporting on COVID and what we are doing on our platform as well, we are always trying to get contributions from experts. So I would not, because I don't really, I'm not an expert in COVID, I'm not a medical professional. So I would even rather sometimes have a full contribution for our site from medical professional, someone who is working in the field for years, than writing something myself. And I think the way to have that accurate information is to really filter people who will you interview and who will you collaborate with and have a contribution from, in order to have that clear and precise information. Although, yeah, as Mitcho said, it is all with COVID specifically in very early stages. So even medical professionals, even scientists can't sometimes change opinion from, like, since the beginning of the pandemic until now, we had so many different views. So it is a bit tricky, for sure.
Okay, so we have these problems, and Milica, many media outlets still believe that only bad news is good news. Are people really interested only in scandal?
It seems to sell. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what Leah said. It's clickbait. element, and marketing of apocalypse is something which is always, when you have a big picture of the some car crash on the front page of the newspaper, everybody is staring at it, at the news post. No one is going to pick something without a picture there, and with more text on the front page. It takes much reading. It's usually the title and the picture. Then you read. I don't know. I read somewhere that maybe 30% of people even read that after the title and the picture. Read the article, and you can see when you open it, you can see that story. It's not relative to the actual title. It doesn't matter. But yeah, and the picture as well. So this is something which is a very, very special kind of media manipulation, I would say. But regarding science journalism is tricky. I would agree with the rest of my colleagues, because nowadays there is a need for science journalism. It's obvious, especially for medical and health specialists. But also general reporters are pressed to cover the pandemics, and that's trouble, because we face this on a daily basis here in the news desk, that our colleagues, editors, are not actually contacting science journalists to cover the stories regarding pandemics. They rather go to their general journalists, pushing them to do that work, which is, I don't know if it is a good solution either for our colleagues who are covering general topics. They're not comfortable with that, because you need to have some kind of skills and you need to be prepared there and have some background in doing it, covering the stories. So this is difficulty. I think that we all in journalism need to adjust to different specialties in our journalism, especially science journalism nowadays, and be more networking with other colleagues who are covering different stories, with the news desks and general reporters, so we can consult, we can give a hand, or write another story which is going to be accurate one. And what Micho said, it's very difficult and tricky to make a story on daily basis or even weekly when you have such a hyper production of science research regarding COVID and coronavirus, and you have preprints all over the place that you can read, and they're not good enough. Let's say we can do the checking after we are going to be finished with the pandemics at some point, then we are going to have another reading of this research and see where it was and how good it was. But now it's hyper production.
I think being science journalist was always difficult. They think I know everything, but actually I'm just a journalist. I do have some skills, Milica just mentioned it, but I don't know all the answers. But right now I think it's very demanding, because people can look and find information all over the internet. Some of them are the real one, the relevant one. Some of them are fake news. Everybody who reads our story has some kind of expectation. Some of them even want us to confirm what they think. So I sometimes I have a feeling not everybody is happy with what we say, what we report about. They want us to confirm their thinking. The public, they write me a note. Why didn't you report on this drug? What do you say about this research? Are you hiding this from us? You don't want to report about this. So with COVID, this is really, really a new situation for me, because nobody is actually taking so much care about, I don't know, nuclear energy right now. But what we say about COVID, what we say about coronavirus, it's really serious. People, of course, it's easy to understand why. So I think it's difficult right now. It's difficult, but well, that's our job.
One thing I like very much about science journalists is your small talk. It's not like, did you hear about that that woman or that man? It's, did you hear about that research? Or like something sparked my interest over there. If we can make a one last circle, and each of you could just give me one little snippet of information you received like in last few days, and it was like very interesting and something new?
I mean, I'm all the time kind of reading about how the vaccine for COVID process goes, because that's something very, very important now. So just like, I mean, I can't really on top of my head now think of something very, like very interesting, but just I feel always very fascinating every kind of new step of this process.
Micho, did you catch something like this?
Well, you know, when we do catch things like this, we're not really supposed to share it because we have to keep our exclusives. But I think an important thing for us to keep in mind is that, you know, we talked a lot about trust and accuracy and facts. I think for journalists, you know, our role is not just to educate and inform people. Our role is to tell stories and to sell newspapers and to, you know, to basically write stories that our readers want to read or listen to or watch. And, you know, I think we have an important role in holding a power to account. So in case of COVID, you know, there's a lot of money being spent on research and on science. So one of the questions that we've been trying to ask is like, who decides of what science gets funded and what is the process? What is the peer review? How do you ensure that the vaccine funding doesn't just go to, you know, Oxford and Imperial, but also other universities who are working on it? How do you prevent sort of, basically bad practices in science? So yeah, for me, those are kind of the important things that come up in conversations and in my thinking about this.
Renata?
Okay, yeah, of course we are talking about COVID and coronavirus all the time. But yesterday, my colleague showed me an article in New Scientist, which was saying, should we find vaccine for stress? And we were talking about this for, I don't know, an hour probably. Because we are all in stress, especially now. And we were thinking of making a show about stress, and we were also trying to find a new angle. And then she found this article in New Scientist, and we were all really surprised. And somehow we would like to talk a little bit about coronavirus, but not all the time, because sometimes we have a feeling that people would like to hear something else as well, not only those stories. So we are trying to find another angle. And another one I've read yesterday was about seismic pollution of Earth, that it's much lower right now. And then we were talking, our small talk was again, how do they measure this? Where are those stations? Do we have some in Slovenia? We were reading a research from Belgium. So yes, our small talk, that was your question, I think, is it's really completely different from, wow, nice shirt, where did you buy it? We talk about, yeah, what an interesting research, how did you find it?
Okay, Milica, what's the word in Beograd?
In my circle, it's about herd immunity, to be honest. It's something which is related to the COVID-19 also, but it's what Micho said. No, not enough research on that. And is it 2 weeks? Is it 3 months? Is it not at all? That's the problem. And the other thing is also mental health, because this is long. It's over 6 months now. And what we did in Federation, we recently developed with WHO webinars on different topics for science journalists that they can register and listen to the experts and ask questions. And the last one was on mental health, not just in the age of pandemic, but related to the other things, because our lives are changing for sure, and it's not going to be the same after this. And our jobs are changing. We are working mostly from home, and now we are recording from our little studios at home. So it's completely different.
I thank you in these difficult times. You all took your time and for this discussion, and I wish you all the best and hope to see you, to hear from you, to read your work soon. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
International Medis Awards.